Fetch is a basic dog trick. You throw a stick, the dog goes after it, and returns it to you. Seems simple. Still, not all dogs get it. And sometimes, you just have to stop trying to make fetch happen. Dog trainer Bob Ryder from Positive Transformation says the reason we teach our pets tricks is because it's fun. It's something positive to share. Ryder says most pets, well, let's be honest, we're mostly talking about dogs here, can learn tricks. Some pets don't. But when it works, it's wonderful, all the way down to your brain.
Your brain produces all kinds of nice stuff to have flowing around when you're happy and laughing and...
Love those endorphins.
Yeah, when you're surprised or delighted by some new skill that you find together or you have a breakthrough in communication. I've seen it more times than I can ever count when a dog suddenly gets it. The light comes on and they're like, oh, I see exactly what you want me to do. And then they just start throwing the behavior at you because they're delighted and it's really satisfying.
So this could really help communication between caregiver and animal.
Yes, learning how to teach your dog something new and in a way that you're just doing because you like it is the cement that holds you together for all those years.
What about why a dog might not be able to learn a trick? Now, if a dog isn't learning how to fetch, well, what's some reasons why that could be?
I can think of a number of reasons. All creatures enjoy best learning to perform a new behavior because it satisfies some need that they have. The first thing to do is figure out what they want, what they need, and then make that need or that want contingent on getting a little piece of the behavior correct and then a little bit more of the behavior correct. So pretty soon they're doing something that was easy enough to learn in stages for something that's really worth having to them. For dogs who have a little trouble learning something new, there can be some reasons for that.
What are those reasons?
One of the main reasons, I think, is that the dog doesn't feel like there's anything worth having at the end of the performance.
So a treat isn't worth it, maybe, to the
treat, dog? A treat might or might not be worth it to some dogs. Maybe the trainer, the teacher, isn't even offering a treat. Maybe it's a little pat on the head or a good dog that wasn't worth the effort that it would take to do the behavior. I have a couple of different jobs, and I enjoy the work, but if they stopped putting money in my bank account every 2 weeks, I would probably move on to some other kind of work. You have to feel like what you're doing leads to something that's worth having.
What about stubbornness?
I say this a few times a year and people always look surprised when I do. I've never met a stubborn dog.
Really?
Honestly, yeah. A stubbornness is a distinctly human characteristic in my point of view. I think what commonly looks like stubbornness to us is, in reality, for the dog, confusion. If you could read an invisible to us thought bubble over their head, they might be saying, what was that now? You want me to do what? Now, see, your words are saying one thing and your body language is saying something different. Which one do you want me to do? So that moment of pause or confusion or distraction, right? There's a squirrel over there. I can't concentrate on what you want me to do because there's something else going on. That might look to us like what our human children are usually find this at some point in their young lives. You can't make me do that if I don't want to.
You're not the boss of me.
You're not the boss of me, right? Humans are capable of stubbornness and we get some, who knows why, some satisfaction out of being our own person and refusing commands. In my experience, I can't remember ever seeing a situation where a dog was clearly just refusing to do something because you're not the boss of me. Almost always it's confusion or boredom or are they capable of making the move? If I asked my dog right now to do a backflip, it wouldn't be stubbornness that prevented her from doing it. I've never taught her to do that. I don't know if she's, some dogs are. I don't know if Daisy's capable of flexing her muscles and, you know, relaxing in the way that you need to do to do a cool trick like that. So there's lots of reasons. Stubbornness probably isn't one of them.
If an animal isn't learning to do a particular trick, like fetch, or sit, or roll over, or what have you, maybe the problem isn't with the animal, maybe it's with our unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, that's a great observation. Most animals are capable, most dogs especially, that I work with, are capable of learning way more than their people ever thought possible, and it's usually a pretty simple matter of breaking the behavior down into learnable pieces. Daisy can do some really complicated routines, and I'm very proud of having taught her all of those tricks in tiny bits and pieces. There's one.
So
that
it wasn't one weekend where suddenly she became a genius at doing tricks.
No, she's always been very intelligent, but you know, when we started any particular behavior, there's one where she crawls along the ground backwards. She can walk up a flight of stairs backwards too.
Whoa!
And I taught her all these moves, one little piece at a time. It might be something starting as small as just moving her leg in a particular way, or shifting her weight to one side or the other, and then we build from there.
And then you would consistently give her treats, because she likes the treats. Every time she would do something right, boom, you were right there in the next second with a treat, right?
Correct. I want Daisy to understand that it was that move, that one little shift of her weight, or that one little step, that caused me to give her the treat. And then she'll repeat that, and I'll let her explore and try, all right, if it didn't work with one step, maybe it takes two, and so on. So realistic expectations. You can have great expectations for most dogs, but helping them get there in learnable pieces makes all kinds of sense. Lots of your listeners have had the experience of learning to drive a car. None of us start doing 65 or 70 on an interstate. We start in a parking lot or the driveway, just learning, you know, how to shift from one gear to the other. How much pressure do I need to put on the brake or the gas pedal? And then you build from there. So that's true with teaching our dogs new tricks.
And with regards to caregivers teaching tricks, consistency is the key.
Yeah, using the same word or the same phrase, the same tone of voice when you signal for one trick or another. Dogs are very specific thinkers, very intelligent, but they have a little bit more trouble than humans do generalizing from one situation to the next. So when I work with puppies, if I'm teaching the dog to sit or to lie down for little treats, maybe we're working in the kitchen, and the puppy's positioned so that the refrigerator is over here on my left, and over there's the cupboards and the sink, and when you move the treat this way, I put my bottom on the ground, and I get a treat for doing that. That's great. And we do that a few times, and the puppy gets it. They'll sit pretty quickly. Then we'll move to the living room, and I'll make all the same sounds and the same motions, and the puppy's like, what? Hmm. What do you want me to do?
Interesting.
I don't get it. So we have to go through the learning curve again for the dog to learn, oh, you just want me to put my bottom on any piece of ground. It doesn't have to be
in the kitchen,
by the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Right? It can even work on grass. So understanding some of the limitations or specific ways that animals learn is helpful too.
Well, when do we know we should just give up trying to teach our pet to do tricks? We don't want to be torturing the animal by constantly trying to get them to learn how to do this, that, or the other things. When do we give up?
When it's not fun. That's your first clue that it's time to take a step back from training. I get lots of repeat business by helping people and their dogs find permission to have fun with training. It doesn't have to be like boot camp. You don't have to be the drill sergeant. If you're not having fun, come back to it later. If a dog is confused or frustrated or full or distracted or not feeling particularly well that day, training probably isn't going to be much fun. If you're asking for a skill set or a particular move that doesn't come easily or at all for your dog, maybe there's arthritis. It would be worth thinking, is this particular trick something my dog is likely to enjoy and want to repeat? And there are breed characteristic differences, too. Teaching a Labrador Retriever to fetch is almost effortless. It kind of happens on its own because that breed of dog is genetically predisposed to find fetching a rewarding activity. For other dogs, I'm thinking perhaps a Bernese Mountain Dog, who's genetically predisposed to spend lots of time in solitary situations keeping an eye on flocks of creatures, fetch might not come as easily to that dog. You can very likely teach it if you set up the lesson in a way that you're patient and you reward the dog with something worth having.
But maybe you should find another cool trick for that dog.
Yeah, different strokes for different folks is a good rule of thumb. Some dogs can learn different tricks easier than others.
That's dog trainer Bob Ryder from Positive Transformations. Another reason why a dog might not be able to learn tricks could be fear. Fear that's genetically based, but especially with dogs who experience aversive punishment for mistakes or failure to get the trick done as promptly as the handler expects. The fear of getting it wrong often translates into hiding or just shutting down. And this is one of the main reasons that Ryder encourages people to use positive reinforcement, that is, reward-based training, and eliminate scolding or spanking from their repertoire. I'm Laura Kennedy.